And you know when we're really going to hear singing? In heaven. Read Hebrews 4. Who do you think is going to lead the singing? Who's going to be the song leader? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. I wonder if he's going to sing bass or tenor. I wonder if he's going to be like those old Russian singers that go from bass to high soprano. Isn't that something to look forward to? The voice of the Lord leading the singing? These things thrill me. I could almost jump for joy at what the future holds for me. I'm going to see the Lord. I'm going to hear the Lord. Let me stop. We continue our subject, disqualified. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. I keep my body under, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I should be disqualified. Terrible thing to be disqualified. All these CEOs and all these big fellows in the government, all being disqualified. What a terrible thing. We looked at Moses, the meekest man of his day. He was disqualified. We looked at Samson, known for great strength. He was disqualified. And now this morning, we want to look at another servant of the Lord. 1 Kings, chapter 3. Another great servant of the Lord who was disqualified. Now, let me make one point clear. Moses was disqualified, but he's going to be in heaven. Samson was disqualified. He's going to be in heaven. Being disqualified means that you cannot continue in the Lord's service, but it doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. Now let's look at this other man, this man of God. 1 Kings, chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. God said, ask what I shall give thee. But let's stop there. Suppose the Lord were to ask you, what do you want? What would you say? What do you want? And we must always remember who is asking the question. The story is told of a boy that was born blind. He was about 8 years old. And someone said to him, if you were living in the time when Jesus was here on earth and Jesus came by your way, what would you ask him for? And he said, I would ask him for a seeing eye dog. Oh, beloved, what do you want from God? What do you really want? But let's read on. Verse 6, Solomon said, thou hast showed thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go in or come out. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. What do you want, Saul? Ask what you want, verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge thy people, thy great people? How did God respond to this request? Verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked for riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before, neither shall there any arise like unto thee. Solomon was given wisdom. Wisdom. Chapter 4, stay in chapter 3, verse 16. Let's see how Solomon used his wisdom. Let's see how much wisdom he had. Now read along and enjoy this, beloved. You won't find this anywhere else. Verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. The one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. I was delivered of a child within her house, in the house. It came to pass the third day after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. We were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. This woman's child died in the night because she laid upon it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while I was asleep, laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to nurse the child, behold, it was dead. When I had considered it, behold, it was not my son. The other woman said, Nay, but the living son is my son. The dead son is thy son. And this one said, No, the dead son is thy son. The living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. How would we solve this problem today? What would medical science do today? Two women, a living child, and a dead child. Who's the mother? How would we solve it today? You know what we would do. A little blood from each one and do what we call DNA studies. And after a few days, or maybe a week, we would decide who was the mother. Solomon didn't have DNA. And as we shall note, it didn't take him a week to solve the problem. That's wisdom. Let's read on. Verse 24. The solution. Solomon's wisdom. The king said, Bring me a sword. They brought a sword before the king. The king said, Divide the living child in two. give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. She said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, no wise slay it. She is the mother. What a solution. Do you know anybody alive today that could solve this problem? Why, you know, with all the DNA tests, you could still be wrong. But Solomon was right. Wisdom given because he asked God for wisdom. But let's read on. Chapter 4, verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, largeness of heart, even as the sand that is upon the seashore. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. And by the way, the Egyptians were pretty smart people. Things that they did, we still don't know how they did it. How they preserved their dead bodies from their time to our time. We don't know how to do that. And those pyramids that they built, men are still trying to find out how did they do that. How did they know to build a pyramid so that it would end at a certain height with all parts together? And Solomon was learned in all their wisdom. Verse 31, he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite and Hermon, Shechol, Dardan, the sons of Mahol. His fame was in all nations round about. Brilliant. Now come back with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Bearing in mind the wisdom of Solomon. Wouldn't it be nice to have a smart man like that in the world today? Perhaps he would solve some of these problems. I listen to the news every day. Some of you may not agree to that. But I like to listen to the Congress. Brilliant men, supposedly, and they don't agree on anything. Oh, it would be nice to have a Solomon around. He'd help them out a bit. But come with me now. Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt surely set him over thee as king, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But, now, notice, we're going to notice three things about the king. Three requirements about the king. He shall not multiply horses. All right? Verse 17. He shall not multiply wives. Point number two, the king is not to multiply horses, not to multiply wives. 17, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Solomon is king, the wisest man of his day, And I think it's safe to say, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisest man that ever walked this earth. Come back now to 1 Kings chapter 10. Bearing in mind the three things that the king is not supposed to do. Chapter 10, verse 27. He's not to multiply horses, not to multiply wives, not to multiply silver and gold. Chapter 10, 1 Kings, verse 27. The king, Solomon, made silver to be in Jerusalem as stone. He multiplied silver. God said, do not. He did it. Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt. The Lord said, don't multiply horses. Do you see what I'm getting at? Disobedience to the word of God, the wisest man that ever lived. Chapter 11, verse 1. Solomon loved many foreign women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn your heart from God and from their gods. Solomon clave to these in love. The three things that God said, do not do, do not multiply silver and gold, don't multiply horses, and don't multiply wives. You read on. He had 700 wives. My, my. How could he manage? 700? I wonder, how do they know their names? But let's read on. Princesses, 300 concubines. My, my, my. The Lord said, don't multiply wives, and he's got all of these. His wives turned his heart away. Let me stop to say something. Young ladies, you're charming. You're beautiful. You're attractive. Young men, I don't know what they called you today. When I was a youngster, the girls used to call a fine fellow a hunk. What do they call him today? I don't know. What do you call these young men today? These handsome, fine young men. Young women, young men, don't marry an unsaved person. Maintain your separation. Solomon had all these wives. Let me tell you a little story about mingling and marrying the unsaved. We had a Bible school at our home in New York. We met every Saturday. And there was one young lady there, young girl. I took her as one of my children. I really was attracted to her. And she brought this fellow to the class one Saturday and said, this is my friend. We're thinking of getting married. And I was very rude and very crude. I said, don't marry him. That's not very polite, is it? That's not a nice way to talk. She went ahead and married him. And then when she returned, she could have slapped me in my face. I said, how was the honeymoon? She could have said, none of your business. She said, it didn't go so well. I said, what happened? Well, we got to the honeymoon suite. He got undressed and got in bed. I was undressed, kneeling at the bedside. And I said, aren't we going to pray? He said, you don't have to be on your knees to pray. Get in bed and we'll pray. What a start. What a commencement. Had a few children. Her best friend knew how I felt about her and came to me one day and said, we've got to pray for so-and-so. I said, what's the trouble? She says, I was talking to her yesterday and she said to me, I have got to make this marriage work. Don't you marry an unsaved person. It won't work. That's a little aside. For all of you young folks, charming and delightful as you are, don't marry an unsaved person. But let's read on. Oh, verse 4. It came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. He built an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Likewise did he for all his strange wives. The wisest man of his generation, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it would be safe to say the wisest man that ever walked this earth. Three things God said, do not do. Do not multiply silver and gold. Do not multiply horses and don't multiply wives. And he disobeyed in every respect. Chapter 11, verse 9. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore, the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, that thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, the wisest man that ever lived. Disqualified? Why? Disobedience to the word of God. Moses, the meekest man of his day, disqualified. Why? Failure to obey the word of God. Samson, known for his great strength, disqualified. Why? Failure to obey the word of God. Solomon, wisest man of his day, disqualified. Why? Failure to obey the word of God. Conclusion. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 22. The last sentence. Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice. That's the lesson for today. And I'm finished. To obey is better than to sacrifice. Obey the Lord in all his ways. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Verse 22. I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings. This thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. Ye shall be my people. Walk in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. You want it to be well with you? You want success? Obey the book. I'm finished. Number 500, please. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.